Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I
glory to God.
Welcome to Eagles of Flat Island with Apostle Marcus Dupree. We thank God for Apostle Dupree. You thank God for each and everyone that's on the line tonight. We thank you for just tuning in tonight to hear what us said the Lord. And as we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, give you honor, and glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence tonight, Lord God. Speak to our hearts, Lord God, and give us direction. Give us clarity. Give us even stir up hope. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name, Lord God, for your presence tonight and how you're touching our hearts, Lord God, as you're preparing us in Jesus' name. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in all truth. And we thank you, Lord God, for your divine presence tonight. Lord, speak your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the divine connection tonight, the divine leading. As you open up the scriptures to us, thank you for the understanding, the signs and the miracles, Lord God, whatever needs to come forth to bring forth clarity and understanding, Lord God, we have things of discovery. In Jesus' name, Lord God, speak to us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your divine help tonight. We trust, lead, and depend on you, Lord God, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Speak, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly of all we ask for faith. And we thank you for your word tonight. As your word come alive, as your truth stand up, Lord God, we thank you for the miraculous. We thank you for the clarity. We thank you for the election of Jesus Christ. We trust, lead, and depend on you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for this transitional moment, Lord God, as you lead us to a greater place, Lord God, in you. We thank you as our trust is in you with all our heart, that we lead not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you as you direct our path. So, Lord, thank you right now for the divine direction that you're leading us in as we trust you with all our heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as you minister to us, Lord God. Thank you for your word in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. 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 All right, let's go to John chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4. And we start at verse 46, excuse me. Actually, go to verse 45. 45, verse John 4:45 reads, then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that they did, that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then says Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down here, my child die. Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And when he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he had begun to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was in the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did, when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. Amen. I want to talk on the subject of tonight, standing against the odds. Standing against the odds. Standing against the odds. This nobleman was in trouble, basically, and his servant, you know, was to the point, I'm assuming his son, was to the point of death and, you know, really sick. And I can imagine he probably did everything he knew to do, everything people would advise him to do. He probably tried all the home remedies and everything that he knew of. Sometimes we look at our situations, they may not be necessary to the point of death, but simply the odds are against us. When something is against us, it means that something is in opposition to someone or something, or competition with someone or something. It is in opposition and usually sometimes hostile. It's really aggressively against us. You know, it's not like it's just simply just a little pressing, but no, it's vigorously. It's really a strong, strong. I guess opposition. Strong opposition. It's contrary. You know, against the law, and it's also something that can be competitive. You know, because when you fight, when you throw a punch, they're going to try to throw a two-punch or whatever, you know, as far as an opposition. It's a defense against, you know, sometimes we may bring opposition. You know, we may be the one that be fighting against something from happening or something that's trying to overcome or overtake us. So when something is against, it can go either side, either way. But here we see not only deal with the sickness, whatever he was dealing with, the servant, the son was dealing with, but then also a matter of time. Time was a factor too, because the longer the time in opposition against, sometimes the weaker people become, the less people want to fight. All kinds of odds are against when you're talking about when you stand and you believe in God for something. There's all kinds of factors that can come in. You believe in God for financial flow to come in and break loose for you. You know, you could be having some things against you to where financially you just need some extra help right now because, you know, you might be scrapped. You might be, you know, you might be doing all you can do, working all that you can work, and you're simply not enough. You know, you can have opposition in your family, your home. There's certain things that need to be done. Certain things that need certain people's cooperation to get some things done. And some people just choose to be an opposition against you. They're not cooperating. They're not working with you. They're not even trying to see, even walk in agreement with you. Amos says, "How can two walk unless we agree?" So that's 3 and 5. But you can't really walk the way or progress, you know, when there's opposition. The opposition is all trying to fight you, trying to block you, trying to stop you from getting to a place. And this is why we have to have enough in us to fight for, you know, even against all the resistance, to be able to fight against, to fight back, even to bring back greater opposition. And this is where the competition comes, because sometimes when you fight back, the enemy fights back. And sometimes that's where you have to dig deeper, but now you have to dig deeper in order for you to bring back enough resistance to overcome. The Bible tells us that we're overcomers, you know. We're overcomers by the word of the Lamb, the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And then also we're overcomers. We are more than conquerors. So knowing what the Bible, what the word of God says about us, it helps give us fuel to the fire. That even against our trying moments, our times where we see that we're maxed out, it gives us hope to stand, a hope to press, a hope to have dig deeper within us to fight against the opposition to where we can break through on top. You know, God knows how much we can bear. He knows how much we can handle. He also knows what he has invested in us, too. And sometimes it takes opposition to bring out the best in you and I. Glory to God. When you're standing against something, that means you're putting up a wall against it. You're also the word standing and against, they actually kind of seem all related, just because of how, you know, when someone makes a stand against someone, someone stands against something, that means they are, you know, they're either for it or against it. But you're taking a position. You're taking a position. And that's very, you know, it's very valuable when it comes down to what you believe that God, you need God to do. So when someone's standing, you know, it is very critical in those times to understand what you're doing. Amen. When someone's standing, it means to use in or standing, done while in standing position, not flowing, not yet cut or heartless, upright, on the feet or base, erect, not flowing, stagnant, still, remaining at the same level, agreement, or amount for an indeterminate period. So I like that verse, that one there. It says, remain at the same level or degree or amount for an indeterminate period. Okay, continue in existence or use indefinitely, established by law or custom, not movable. See, not movable, not because opposition is going to come. So we see here not moving against you, or you not moving in the place of opposition. When the opposition comes to try to bully you, try to push you, try to make its way through, past you, well, you're standing, and you're standing against it. That means you're not moving. You're in position to hold your ground. You're in position to stand, to be established. You're not even against all the, you know, even against all the challenges. For instance, a business. You say usually for the first 5 years of a business is the most critical time for a business to get established, because in those first 5 years, you're going to have all kind of opposition with finances, different laws, or different things that normally take some businesses down in the first 2 or 3 years. They have to be, if you withstand over the 4 or 5 year period of time, that your chances of standing and remaining are much greater. But you have to be able to endure that period of time. So here we see how, you know, people that get, when it comes to the sickness or it's physical challenges, whatever it is may be, there's a period of time that we need to definitely stand, because if we don't, if there's a certain length of time that we can't, it's going to cause the falter in our faith. So as we endure hardness as a good soldier, as we endure the trials and tribulations of life, as we endure the challenges that come our way, and we determine to win, we're determined to overcome, you know, determined to prove the scriptures right. The word of God was again, the word God tells us that we are overcomers, then it's our duty to overcome. You know, he said there were more than conquerors that were expected to not only conquer, but just utterly destroy, just dominantly walk over this thing. So sometimes in life it's going to be opposition when we least expect it, and that's the time that we have to dig deep within and allow the Word of God to coach us, to mentor us, to inspire us to stand, even sometimes when we don't feel like it, even sometimes when it's not convenient, even when it's not even popular to do that. You know, that's the time that we have to allow the Word of God to do what it does. Glory to God. If anyone needs to have a comment, question, and need prayer, you're welcome to call in. The number is 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the queue box. Amen. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. Amen. So standing against the odds, so when you're standing, you're holding your position, you're not moving against the odds, against the opposition. When when opposition comes, it tries to bully you, trying to make you do what it wants you to do. It comes to trying to weaken you at your greatest place of your stand. You know, this is why we have to continue to dig deep and even understand who we are in God and hold our place and our position. The enemy is not going to end. He's not going to make it easy. He's going to try to find all kinds of ways to attack. And the enemy tends to examine, see, and watches us. And what he often will do is watch us and examine us and look for those weak places, those places in our life that we're vulnerable. For instance, I was watching a show the other day, and there's a hero and a villain. But the villain, he attacked him one time. Well, the first time they had an encounter, he saw something that, this is the villain, he saw something that sparked his attention. He saw that as great as this person was, but they had a weakness. He had a weakness that he was going to exploit. And this weakness was people. Because his desire to save people, to help people, he's now going to use that against him. And so the enemy will study you. He will see those strong areas. He will recognize those strong areas that you have. He recognizes how dominant you can be. But then he also looks for those areas where you're vulnerable, where you're not so strong, where you can waver, where you can be weak, or you can be persuaded, or he can catch you at the best point of getting impact against you. You know, he will watch you. He will study you. He will look to find that place in you that can bring to your demise. So he will. He's opposition. He's not trying to stand with you. He's standing against you. So he's always looking for a place where he can get you off balance in your stand. Think about it. As long as something is properly standing. And on this proper leg strength, and everything is positioned the right way, is unmovable. It's probably hard to move. It's hard because it's stable. It's like a wall. But if it's on one leg instead of two, if it's off balance, is not really completely on the ground. Now it has some weakness there. So if we hit something the right way, at that point, its balance is gone. You know, you can get the best of it. And no matter how big it is, I mean, just think about it. If you catch a giant, a person who's a giant, and you catch them, matter of fact, I remember it was a dream I had, I think it was last night. It was a man, he had to be every bit of 8 or 9 foot tall. I'm like, what in the world? But when I think, you know, when you think about a person that tall, if the slightest opposition comes the wrong way, catch them off balance, that's going to be a hard fall for them. So glory to God. So, amen. Hello? So as we continue in this stand, remember, standing against the odds is not always going to be the easiest thing to do. It's not going to be the most comfortable things we have to endure. But there are some things that we have to stand against. Amen? Is someone trying to speak? Okay. All right, so.
No, I just got kicked off.
How? You got kicked off?
Yeah, I got kicked out, so I'm trying to get back.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me, Pastor Lupe?
Okay. Hello? Okay.
You still alive, Pastor Lupe?
Okay, all right. So, amen. So as I was mentioning about the giant, the person was real tall. You know, if that person is caught off of balance the wrong way, or in out of position the wrong way, no matter how tall they are, no matter how dominant they can be, if you catch anything, anyone out of position, they're at a disadvantage. And now you can, when they get hit, that's the greatest chance for them to fall down is when they're out of position, or you can catch them off balance. So in this case, as we stand against the odds, this is where we have to make sure our foundation is set, our foundation is solid, that we are standing in a good place, that we are assured of where we're standing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 13. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they had, for they which are of the law, be it heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. So here we see Abraham is given a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. Now, this is the promise. When you have a promise the promise is that I will never leave you or forsake you. So we have a promise from God. The enemy's job is to bring opposition, to make you doubt, to make you unbelieve what was promised. His thing is he don't want you to believe that God is going to keep his word to you. This is where you find yourself in the place of twigs, because here it is, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but at the same time, you may not feel God's presence in the room. You may not feel his presence while you're going through. But he said he'd never leave you or forsake you, and this is by faith that you have to believe. You have to be assured that in your most trying times of life, that guess what? God is with you, that you're not standing alone. Even though you may not have all the answers at the moment, your answer is on the way. So even as we think about school, when we were in school, we were taking a test or testing times, even examination times, a perfect exam, when we were having examination times, even though there was a teacher in the room, but the teacher was silent. So in those times where the time of testing, especially for what God has established. See, the thing is, when we take tests, that means there's a preparation time that we had before the testing came. There's a time of knowing and learning and receiving that we once had to go through in order for us to be able to get to that place to really receive what God has for us. So even when it comes down to life in general, we have a time of knowing God. This is why when we don't have the oppositions, this is a good time to establish your walk with God, establish a foundational relationship with God to where you now have something to stand on. So when opposition comes, it's hard to try to establish something with God and try to believe God. You know, and that's where some people get caught off guard, and when their faith don't function and do the way they expect it to do, now they think, oh, God ain't real. Well, it's hard for you to try to learn who God is and trust him at the same time when you're in the midst of a hot, heated challenge where it's not like it's getting up, it's not like it's easing off you, but the heat is being poured on you, and you're trying to do all of that at one time, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be hard to establish that. So when you're not going through, it's the perfect time to build that relationship with God, establish your walk with God, know him, prepare yourself to walk with him. So when the times do come, you have a foundation to stand on. You have the security knowing, God, you will never leave me or forsake me. I'm to the place of just knowing that he is. Even if he don't speak one word to me, I know that he is there. Even if he don't give me all the answers when I want the answers, I know that he is the answer. He has my back. I know that I can trust him. See, I know that in spite of how it looks like right now, it may not make sense right now. It may look like the whole world is coming against me. It may look like everything I've established has fallen down to the ground. But this is the time that I must know that his word is never failing. He won't fail me. He is with me, even though it may feel like I'm being opposed on every side. But yet I stand not alone. I have to know this and establish this in my walk with him so I can properly make a stand, because the opposition is going to come. If I don't stand, if I don't know him the way I need to know him, if I don't connect with him the way I need to be connected with him, any storm could come and blow me away. So when we're standing against all odds, when we're standing against odds, when it looks like the numbers are not in our favor, when it looks like we're drastically outnumbered by the opposition, that is not the time to quit and give up. That's not the time to wonder, God, are you there? We got to know that God is there. You got to know that he has your best interest in heart and mind. You have to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have to notice. There's a difference in knowing the way and walking the way. You, not only that you notice, but you have to proceed in walking the way that you know he wants you to walk. You can't, this is not the time to cast away your confidence. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to say, well, God, I guess you want me to have it because all the enemy's trying to fight me. That's the very time you need to fight. Just when he's fighting you because the enemy is trying to persuade you in your mind that God is not with you. But you have to know within your heart and because of your relationship that he is with you. And you have to press through some challenges that's going to come your way. It won't make sense. It won't feel good. It won't sound good. It won't even look good. But you got to know within, you have to know and know that you know that within you, you have the victory. You are more than a conqueror, that you can overcome any situation that comes in your life because God is with you. He knows how much you can handle. He knows how much you can bear. But you have to trust that he's got your back every step of the way. So here it is. Back to Romans chapter 4. Amen. So just kind of set us up here before we kind of go into this, because the opposition, once again, opposition is going to come. That's what the enemy does. This is what he do. So he's not going to make this, he's not going to just sit there and watch you just believe God and everything be all perfect and clear. That's a fairy tale. There's no way he's going to do it. His opportunity is to fool believers, to cause you to get tripped up in your faith, to not believe that God is real, that God is not for you. So here it is. He's going to verse 17. As written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was a promise he can give to Abraham, before whom he believed. Amen. Abraham believed. Even God who quickened the dead and called those things that would be not as though they were. So even though it didn't look like his, Abraham, 75 years old, don't have not one child, no seed, in the deadness of his wife's womb, Sarah, she wasn't able to reproduce. Their odds were against their age and their fertility units were old. I mean, they were old. They just for her to be productive at that age was, the odds were against them. And because of the fact is it hasn't happened to this point is another odd against them. So with these, just those three, I'm just going to choose three different things to look at. Those three factors right there, that was enough to where if he was weak in faith, if he didn't have what it takes to believe God, those three things could consume him in his faith and he not be productive. But being 75 years old, But, you know, the thing was, even though he had the time, the age, the challenge, but Abraham stood. So he said, God, call those things be not as though they were. So even with the odds are against him, God was speaking for him. He said, you called him. And so here it is, the very important thing is, God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Because God spoke this, God said it, now he had to agree with it. Now, this is where we say sometimes you have to believe beyond what you see. Age-wise, once again, that was opposition. It never happened up to that point so far. That was opposition. Their fertility, parts, you know, the parts of their body that would be used for fertilizing and creating that child, you know, it probably wasn't up to speed, wasn't working, you know, all of this stuff, or, you know, they weren't productive at the point. So that's why we have to begin to see and believe beyond what we can see. We can't stop on the physical, but we have to believe God according to the Spirit. We had to believe him according to what he says versus how it looks like. We had to believe according to what he says versus what it sounds like. And we had to believe, what he said versus the facts of how of even what's against him. So you have to be determined in your heart and mind that no matter what the news is, no matter how it looks, tastes, smell, no matter how it sounds, and this part is very important, no matter who's saying it, then no matter what, you're going to stand and believe God. Because the enemy will use certain key people in your life to speak against something that God is doing to see if you're going to agree with them or God. If anyone needs to call us, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the queue box. So he will use certain people that you trust, their opinion of. You trust their word. See, like in Job, the enemy tried to use Job's wife, one of the closest people to him, to begin to speak nonsense. And, you know, once you curse God and die, came out of his wife, but it came from the devil first. And we saw when the enemy went to God and said, I bet you took this stuff away from him, or even didn't do it, touch his health, he'll curse you. You know, so all of a sudden, he gets in her head, in her mouth. If you wonder why you still holding to your integrity, curse God and die. So here is, now Job, hears this come out of her, and he said, you speak like a foolish woman. And that lets him know she's speaking out of character. That's not her. That was not her normal everyday talk. Because for Job to say that you speak like a foolish woman lets me know that she speaks, she normally would speak better than that. But because of the opposition, because of the test, because of the moment of the pressing, she allowed the circumstance to get the best of her, and she spoke out of her character. She spoke out of the place that she used to be. So then he said, woman, you speak as a foolish woman. So he knew. And they said Job recognized, see, that's the awesome thing about it. Job recognized that his wife was not speaking correctly. He noticed, and this is why you got to know a person too. He knew his wife's spirit, and that was not who he knew. She was not speaking as the one that he knew. Never saw like that before. But obviously, she didn't normally speak like that. For her to speak like that, that let him know that something ain't right. The enemy, see, this is where we have to begin to understand when the enemy try to come in and use what's closest to us, we have to recognize when the enemy has targeted or found a way to get into to infiltrate them and realize, you know what, that's not my spouse. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. That's not who I. That's not my spouse. That's not my husband. That's not my wife. That's not my child. You know, you got to know those closest to you. You have to know their spirit. So immediately when they start talking out of the side of their neck and they start talking some in total opposition for what they normally would speak, you have to attack that thing back. Bind that spirit up in the name of Jesus. You got to shut it down. You can't sit there and keep listening to that and still try to believe God because you're taking in foolishness against your faith. Glory to God.
So you can't be afraid to speak or whatever. See, matter of fact, let's go to where Jesus. Jesus knew Peter's speech. And he knew Peter by the Spirit. And when Peter said, so when Peter started speaking against him, Jesus was trying to tell him the things he had to do. He had to go to the cross, he had to die, he had to go through the process of death and everything. And Peter was like, surely this ain't going to be of you. Even though the enemy used Peter's mouth, but even Jesus knew that wasn't him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, he knew and he identified the enemy when he spoke. So this is why we have to understand that the enemy is going to try us. He's going to try and come at us with familiar faces, familiar voices, and sometimes it'll be familiar spirits all by itself. So we have to be careful, be mindful. Know them that live among you. Know the hearts of those who stand with you. Know their speech. Know their language. You know, amen. When we learn that and we know that, now we can stand against the opposition. But if you don't know that, you can't tell the difference if this is the enemy or not. Or you don't know them well enough. You can't tell if the enemy has somehow persuaded them in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the test, when the odds are against you. See, now the enemy is trying to use that or use the moment to turn against you. See, you know, sometimes everyone can't take what you can take. Everyone may not be able to stand where you stand in your opposition test. But this is why you have to continue to stand strong and be firm. Even if no one, this you also have to be positioned or able to stand by yourself. Because even if no one else believes God, even if no one else trusts you or believes you, you have to believe in you. You have to believe God. You have to stand firm. It doesn't take a whole village to believe, but a whole village can believe, make a difference. It can make a difference. But even if you have to be able to stand by yourself, because if some people don't believe, you still have to be able to hold your ground in the midst of opposition. So, amen. So even as we stand and we believe God and we take him at his word, So just trust and know, he said, so with the promise that God gave to Abraham, the enemy is testing. The enemy's trying to come against, you know, because of how it looked, how it was, and how it you know, how over the years, once again, it had not already happened. So you had even that going against him. He says, verse 18, who against hope? See, the opposition against hope here, the odds were, once again, his age, the fact that the way their bodies wasn't able to produce up to that point, and two, just the situation. You know, here it is, God spoke this, they had to just dig within themselves and just believe God and just agree with God, because this could be foolish to a person who's that age. You know, that's why Sarah laughed, because Sarah thinking, at this age here, I'm going to give birth to a child? That was just not common. That was just totally uncommon. That was not likely. That was just seemed so far-fetched. But even in those times when things seem so far-fetched, you cannot. Don't despise the word. Don't be in opposition against the word. If God said he's going to do something, even as this foolishness may look from the natural standpoint, you latch on and believe God. There's many times we shoot down what God has said of our life because it's hard for us to believe. We have to believe beyond what we can see sometimes. We have to believe beyond what's convenient at the time. See, it's easy to believe God when you're 21, 22 years old. You're married and but trying to have kids. It's easy to believe God then because you're young, you have time. 40, 50 years old. Okay, it's a little different because than 20-something years old because you need some years are going by and your body is not the same as it used to be. So there's opposition. So here it is when you talk about someone who's 75, 80 years old. Now you talk about them to believe that. That is very unlikely. But even God used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. See, just because you look at the outer appearance of something, that's why you can't fully say that, okay, just because David looked like a certain way or something looked like a certain way, that, you know what, God can't do it. You, God can do anything. You'd be surprised. And that's what it takes for you to believe God beyond, to call those things. See, call those things to be not as though they were isn't necessarily just when it's convenient to say that, but even when it's hard to believe it the most, you have to still be able to call those things to be not as though they were. Okay. We get there. Amen. So we, looking back at that again, so even God called those things to be not as though they were. Okay, so he goes on in verse 19. And, okay, I'm sorry, go back to 18 again. And who against hope, who believe in hope, that he might be the father of many nations. He believed in hope. Even when hope was in opposition, he still believed in hope that he would be the father of many nations, what was promised to him, according to that which was spoken by God, so shall thy seed be. He accepted, and so it shall be. He was convinced in his heart that in spite of what it looks like, he's going to believe what was said, what was spoken by the Almighty God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't consider his body at the age that he was, far as, you know, as a strong factor in this whole thing. Even though it was in opposition, but he didn't consider it to be a strong factor because God said it. And if God said it, that's what he's holding on to. So he didn't let the age of his body overrule what God said. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So not only his opposition against his own natural body, but also his wife's ability, a body and ability to produce a child at that age. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He didn't stumble in his belief. He didn't second guess himself when it came down to what God said. He didn't look at those other factors and let that determine what God, let it go against what God said. He took God at his word. He held on. Abraham did last too. He did last too. But he had a moment, a moment, and he went on. The same way Sarah did too. So we tend to do that sometimes when we look at, there have been times where, you think, well, we've had our moments to where opposition is against us. And someone said, just believe God. And some of us have said to ourselves, oh, God. I said, some people are like, man, that's. Because why? Because we're looking at the opposition. We're looking at the odds. We're looking at what's against us. We're looking at how far we got to go. We're looking at how long we get to wait. We're looking at the way we feel right now. And you could have been kind of gotten knocked around a little bit in your faith, and you could feel kind of like, you know what? I don't know if I can do that. So we have those moments of our challenge. So that's where our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the time that we have to reassure ourselves in our faith by getting into the word and nurse our faith to where we can get strong enough to believe and really align ourselves to what God has said and really take in his word to be what it is. It takes work sometimes. So it's not going to just fall in the sky into your lap. Sometimes you have to go take some time and work on your faith to help to get your faith up to par to God's word. Let me say that again. Sometimes you have to take some time to work on your faith, nurse your faith to get it up to par with God's word. Yeah, because you can't believe beyond something. You can't believe beyond where you are. You can't. You have to get your faith into alignment and to really believe along with what God is saying. You have to be able to agree with that. And so even though it may not look like it, but you can't stop because of the way it looks. Even though it may not sound like it, you can't stop where it sounds or feels like. But you have to speak from where you believe and you have to believe beyond what you can see. It's not going to always be that easy. Okay, amen. Going back to the word. So he staggered not at the promise of God but through unbelief. So he didn't trip up over what God said and think it's so unlikely that it couldn't come to pass. He did not trip up over the fact that God said, you will be a father of many nations, even though he didn't have not one child. He didn't trip up over that. He was strong in faith. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he was set. He was in agreement with God in his faith. He gave glory to God. He gave God the credit because he knew God was. See, he knew it wasn't going to be by his own might. It wasn't going to be by his own power. But he knew it was going to be by God's spirit. He knew it was going to be by the hand of God that this thing was going to be accomplished. Because he knew the odds were already against him. I mean, if anyone needs to call, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the cue box. Amen. So if he was facing this opposition and knew within himself, okay, if me within myself, I can't do this. But God is able to do anything. So that's what I'm saying. When you have God on your side, when you're on God's side, God on your side, whichever you look at it, you have the majority. God can do it. I don't care how many people don't believe that God can do it through you, but it's what you believe and you agree with him. That's what matters the most. So here's even Abraham, he had to choose within himself to believe. He made a choice. He made a conscious decision to take God at his word. He chose to say, you know what, I'm going to believe God. In spite of how it looks. Verse 21, and being fully, not halfway, fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God promised him being the father of the nation, that he was able to perform. That he, once again, it goes back to the point, Abraham knew within himself he couldn't do it. But God was able to do it. And he put it where it belonged. He believed in God. It's not so much on himself that he had his own abilities, but he believed God to where God, he knew that God was able to do this thing. Not so much himself. He knew within himself it was almost impossible. But with God, all things are possible. To man, this is impossible. But to God, all things are possible. And Abraham demonstrated that scripture. He demonstrated that scripture before it actually, you know, as far as was actually spoken during that time. So he demonstrated that, you know, God demonstrated through Abraham that with man, this is impossible. But with him, all things are possible. Amen. So glory to God. If you go a little further, we're almost there. Sanity, hold on. So he goes on to say, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he was that what he had promised, him being the father of many nations, he was able to perform. God was able to perform that. And see, God is not obligated to back up your opinion. He's only obligated to back up his word. And that was his word to Abraham, that he was going to be a father of many nations. He didn't promise him cattle on a thousand hills. He didn't promise him. He didn't promise him a castle, a kingship. He didn't promise that. So he can't back that up. But what he did promise him, being the father of many nations, that's what he was going to see to come to pass. He was able to perform that, and therefore, it's 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So because he chose to believe God, that put him in the right standing with God. Because he chose to believe against the opposition and stand his ground with God, that now it put him in the right place with God. So, amen. So, John chapter 4, and we're going to close it out right there. Amen. So, we go back to verse 52. Says, well, let me go back to 50. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed that the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. See, he heard the word from Jesus. He believed what he said. And Jesus said, now go thy way. He didn't need a letter. He didn't need a visit. He didn't need a blood sample from Jesus. He didn't need his address to make sure he could find him. No, he just simply believed him. And that's what it takes for us. When you hear God's word, believe it, receive it, and watch it from the past. So he believed and received it, and he went on. He didn't give Jesus, because he didn't have a naming moment to where, well, I thought you was going to do this. I thought you was going to, no. He heard Jesus said to him, he said, he's my child, die. Jesus said to him, go thy way. He told him, just go. Go thy way. Go your way. Pray on back. Thy son lives. He gave him a direction to go first before he even said or confirmed or even spoke anything about the child. He said, go that way, that's unlimited. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He believed it. He didn't question it. He didn't say, well, you ain't praying, Jesus. I hear you call a fiery prayer down from heaven. You ain't said, shanda. No, he didn't do all of that. He simply believed the word. See, this is why, this is what gets us in trouble sometimes. And just being real. We try to emotionalize everything. It's not if you feel that the prayer went through, but you have to know in your heart and that you believe God that what was prayed was done. So even with someone praying, it don't have to be a bullshack-a-lack in good time in order for you to believe God. Or simply, in this case, he just declared and agreed, your son lived. And your son, he didn't even say a whole bunch there. See, because Jesus was already prayed up. He was ready for this moment. And that's why even with us, some stuff, we don't have to even pray. We just believe. And then when we believe it and we put the word on it to come out of us, God will bring the past. There have been times before someone who wants to pray, wanted me to pray for someone. And before I even could pray good, I just believed that God, I just believed that God was going to do it. God will work it out. It's done, you know. And the thing is, the person comes back and says, man, praise God. God healed. You know, the person is doing whatever they got to do, whatever happened, everything. Now, listen, I didn't have to go to a 3 or 4 hour intercession. I didn't have to do that. But there are certain times when you are in a certain place with God, in your faith, in your moment with God, in that place with God, that he may instruct you to do some things, or he may not instruct you to do some things, or you just believe. And sometimes that's all you need to do and for God to do it. Listen, God has no just one set way of doing things. This is where we get ourselves in this business, we get into being very religious. Who's to say that you have to pray every time for someone to get healed? You don't have to pray a prayer the same time. I mean, we have to pray a prayer every single time. But you believe that God is able to heal them. And sometimes it takes you speaking, saying, it will be healed. Or whatever it is. God has no one set way of doing it. God has many ways, and it's according to your faith, be it unto you. So your faith needs to be in action. And God will have many different ways of demonstration. See, when your faith is in action, we give God opportunities to flow in different ways of demonstration. So he doesn't have to do it the same way every time. We try to put God in a box that God's going to do it the same way. You have to pray 3 or 4 hours in order for it to be, sometimes it don't take that. Now, on the other hand, sometimes it may. Sometimes it may take you warring for someone's healing, warring for someone's deliverance. It may take that. But every single time, that's not the recipe that God called. He may just say, just simply believe, because your faith is out of place right now. All you just need to do is believe and it's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive that for myself right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We almost finished. Glory to God. But amen. You have to believe according to the word of God, according to the faith, according to what God's word has been spoken. Amen. Take that word. Okay, so he said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went his way. That's it. He believed and went his way. He didn't second guess. He didn't hang around. He just went on his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Confirmation. Confirmation came. before he even can get home, confirmation came for what Jesus said. Confirmation came. Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to be to mend or get better. He asked them, what time of the hour? When was this? And they and said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. At the seventh hour, he knew that that was the time that the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. So at the very time the word was released, it's confirmed that's the same time that the healing was delivered. The healing came forth. His sickness left. And himself believed, he believed, and his whole house. So see, in these times when the odds are against you, when you stand your ground in God, not only for yourself, but for those in your household, those who are standing with you, you begin to, your faith becomes contagious in your own household. People begin to see and believe you love. Because, see, this is why we need to begin to speak those things. Speak those. Let them hear us speak those things before it happens. The more you begin to speak those things, think about it. The more you begin to speak those things that be as though they were, and the more God brings the past, it's going to awaken those who are around you. It wakes them up to see who you are in Christ. It wakes them up to understand, oh, God is alive in you. When you speak, God answers. God responds. See, it also causes them to believe in God in your life. See, what you demonstrate is going to cause them to either believe or not believe, according to how you handle and you walk this thing out, according to your faith. Amen. So we have to begin to believe beyond what we see or what we hear, what it feels like, all those conveniences. We have to believe beyond that. Because sometimes it's going to take just us, just silence, believing God. Okay, he goes on saying, verse 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did, and when he was come out of Judea and into Galilee. So amen. So we praise God for that. Now, if there's anyone at this time, you may need to call in. You may have a question. You may have a comment. You may need prayer. This is the time now to call in the number 347-945-5416, or simply just press 1, and we will put you through. Amen. We'd like to hear from you tonight. We want to hear from you. Glory to God and you know your faith. We want to pray for you if we need to pray. Whatever God needs to do in your life, this is the time. Hallelujah. The atmosphere is ready. The moment is here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So stand against all odds. So, amen. When you stand against those odds, you know, that's opposition is going to be, you know, we're going to have opposition. You got to be able to stand against those odds, those oppositions that come against you, and believe God and take God as a word in spite of what it looks like, feels like, sounds like. Amen. Even, you know, what it even sounds like. Amen. We have to believe him beyond what's convenient. We have to believe him in spite of what the enemy may try to tell us or make us feel like or project to us. Oh, you're not going to make it, or you're going to run out of time, or it's not going to happen for you. Oh, look, it's been this many years. It's not going to happen. You know, listen, Abraham waited 25 years for his son. 25 years. Now, is that going to happen for every time for someone? It may not. For some people, it may take that. But the fact of the matter is, how long can you believe God before God brings the past? How long can you endure and hold on to your faith while God brings the past? Is going to be a very important question that only you and God can answer. So praise God. We pray that you are blessed tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for helping us to stand against all odds, oh God. We thank you that it is against all opposition that comes our way. We were able to stand on ground in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for positioning us to stand, positioning us to endure. You've given us a heart to endure as we speak those things that be not as though they were. So, Lord, sometimes it's going to take us speaking beyond where we are in order for us to see the manifestation of your presence. Sometimes we have to believe beyond where we stand, Lord God, in order for us to see the difference, see the change, see the setting free that's going to come forth in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we trust you, Lord. We take care of your word. We believe you. We just receive everything that you've spoken to us tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us to believe, to stand, to live beyond what we see. Lord God, because our faith is truly in action, and we believe you, we take you at your word. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. If there's anyone at this time, also too while we're here, if there's anyone who needs to be saved, I want you to repeat to me, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I receive, I believe and I receive that Jesus died for me and he rose on the third day. I'm a sinner. I choose to lay down my life and receive his. Open up my heart. Lord, I believe Jesus died and rose for me. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior of my life. And I thank you for helping me to stand, to overcome, to walk out my victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone may need to rededicate your life to the Lord this time. Lord, forgive me. For I've strayed. Thank you for bringing me back into right standing with you, Lord. I believe and receive your word. I choose to stand in the right place. I choose to be reconciled by your love. Thank you for bringing me back into the divine alignment with your will. And I thank you, Lord God, for restoring me and putting me back in my right standing with you. So I believe and receive now in Jesus' name that I am renewed, I am saved, I'm born again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So praise God. Amen. So once again, thank you all for being with us tonight. Join us back on next week as we go forth in faith. Amen. So we thank God for his word. Once again, standing against all odds. You can stand. You can stand. You can hold your ground. The Lord has empowered you to make the difference, to stand, to see the difference. You got to believe beyond what you see and know that he is well able to do exactly what he said he's able to do. He's able to keep you. So remember, standing against the odds. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to stand. He wants you to just oppose, you know, and not give in to those things that come your way. Hallelujah. So, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Amen. Bye-bye.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hand. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through. But I'm still here. Tell somebody else that. that I have done. Do I have to witness to this? So many things, hey, I left undone. Hallelujah. But in spite of all that, look at somebody, tell them, I got the victory. Come on, tell them, I got the victory. It's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Keep in me. Come on, say it. Oh!
Mercy and grace.